Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive.
So have you ever found yourself like wading through really dense corporate jargon?
Yeah.
Or maybe trying to figure out a government memo?
Oh, yeah. Or just wondering why some really smart people write sentences that are just impossible to understand.
Exactly. Well, if that sounds familiar, you're definitely in the right place today. We are doing a deep dive into Steven Pinker's really great guide, The Sense of Style.
It's such an important book, especially right now. And our goal here isn't to give you another boring grammar lesson.
No, definitely not.
Pinker, he really changed things up. He looks at clear writing, not just as, you know, an art or a bunch of old rules, but as something grounded in cognitive science, how our brains actually work.
And that's huge today, isn't it? We're just overloaded with information. And when writing is murky and confusing, especially from like big institutions or businesses, it's a massive drain. Just waste your time, your mental energy, creates friction, like you said.
Yeah.
So Pinker offers this. Well, it's like a shortcut to clarity backed by science. He basically argues that good writing is a kind of courtesy.
A courtesy? How so?
Well, it saves the reader cognitive energy, right? Yeah. If your message is clear, bang, it gets through. If it's all tangled up, the reader stalls, maybe gives up, you've lost them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So who is this guy taking this brain-based approach to writing? Steven Pinker. He's not your average English prof, is he?
No, far from it. He's the Johnstone Family Professor of Psychology at Harvard, a really big name in cognitive psychology and linguistics.
Psychology.
Yeah. Think about his other major books, like The Language Instinct or How the Mind Works. His whole career is basically about understanding how our minds tick, how we learn language, how we process thoughts.
So that perspective is totally different. Most style guides come from, what, aesthetics, how things sound, or maybe historical rules.
Exactly. Pinker kind of waves away all that dusty tradition. He looks at style through the lens of psycholinguistics, you know, using actual evidence to show why some sentences are harder for our brains to handle than others.
So it's not just because Trunk and White said so.
Right. For him, the authority isn't some old rule book. It's cognitive function. Does it work? Does it make the meaning clear without making the reader work too hard? If yes, good style. If it ties your brain in knots unnecessarily, bad style. Simple as that, really.
Okay, let's dig into the core idea then. If there's one thing to really grasp from this deep dive, what's the absolute biggest barrier Pinker identifies to clear writing?
It's something he calls the curse of knowledge. That's the big one, the main villain.
The curse of knowledge.
Okay, it's a cognitive bias. Basically, once you know something, it becomes incredibly hard to imagine what it was like not to know it, especially if you're an expert.
Ah, right. So if you're, say, a tech expert, you forget that not everyone knows what API means.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw it in there.
Exactly. Or a lawyer uses some Latin phrase, assuming everyone's on the same page. You forget the reader doesn't have your background, your context, and boom, they're lost.
Yeah, that explains so much impenetrable writing.
And Pinker says this bias is what leads to those awful styles we all hate, like academies or officialese or that dreadful businessese.
Oh, businessese.
Yeah.
Full of jargon, right, and super abstract language.
Totally. Jargon, abstractions. And he also points to meta-discourse. That's talking about what you're talking about instead of just talking about it.
Okay, give us an example. What does awful officialese sound like? Make it painful.
Okay, how about, subsequent to the implementation of the strategic paradigm reconfiguration, a proactive leveraging of synergistic asset optimization methodologies was necessitated.
Ow. Okay. What does that actually mean?
It probably means, after the reorganization, we had to use our resources better, or maybe even we fired people to save money. See how the abstract jargon hides the reality? It protects the writer, maybe, but it completely blocks the reader.
Wow. Yeah. That explains a lot of emails. So the fix isn't just like running spell check. It's a whole different mindset. What does Pinker call the ideal?
He calls it classic style. That's the antidote.
Classic style. Okay.
The idea is that your writing should be like a perfectly clean window looking onto the world, onto the subject. The ideas themselves are the focus, not the writer showing off, not fancy stylistic tricks getting in the way.
So the writer steps back.
Sort of. The writer becomes like a guide, a knowledgeable guide. He uses the term Cicerone, who's pointing things out in a shared reality to the reader. And importantly, the reader is treated as an equal, as someone intelligent.
I really like that. It changes writing from just following rules to being, well, respectful, generous even.
It is. It's almost an ethical stance. You prioritize the reader's understanding. That's your main job.
And this focus on transparency, on the reader, that's how you fight that curse of knowledge thing.
That's the main weapon. You have to constantly ask yourself, what does my reader not know? Pinker's big practical tip is, obviously, get someone else to read your stuff, someone outside your bubble.
Yeah, fresh pair of eyes.
But internally, you also have to force yourself. Use concrete words, use vivid examples, analogies, anything to bridge that gap between what's in your head and what's in theirs, especially when dealing with abstract stuff.
Okay, so the philosophy is empathy, transparency. Got it. But how do we actually do that, you know, on the sentence level? This is where his linguistics background really comes in, right?
Exactly. Now we get into the mechanics. He uses this great metaphor, the web, the tree, and the string.
Web, tree, string. Okay.
So our thoughts, our ideas, they exist in our minds like a complex, interconnected web. Everything relates to everything else. But when we communicate, we have to deliver those ideas one word after another in a single linear string. Spoken or written.
Right. You can't just dump the whole web onto the page.
You can't. So what's the tool that converts that messy web into the neat string?
Let me guess.
Syntax.
Grammar.
Bingo. Syntax. And he visualizes sentence structure as a hierarchical tree, like those diagrams you might have done in school. Every sentence has a branching logic.
Okay. So that's the problem.
The problem is cognitive load. If you write a sentence with, say, four layers of nested clauses, you're forcing the reader's brain to hold all these dangling branches of the tree in memory while trying to follow the linear string. It's mentally exhausting.
Ah, okay. So grammar rules aren't just random decrees from dusty books.
Not according to Pinker. They're functional. They're systems the brain uses to manage this complexity, to avoid ambiguity, to help the reader accurately rebuild that tree of meaning from the string of words.
So when you have like a dangling modifier or way too many clauses crammed together?
It's not just wrong because a teacher said so. It's wrong because you failed to map the logic clearly onto the string. You're making the reader do unnecessary work to figure it out.
That makes so much sense. Okay, so that's sentence structure. What about making whole paragraphs flow smoothly?
Yeah, he covers that too. This is where he talks about engineering coherence. And he introduces a really powerful idea from linguistics called the given new contract.
Given new contract. Okay, I think I've heard of this. This is about flow, right?
Exactly. It's a total game changer for making writing smooth. The basic idea is that sentences are easiest for our brains to process when they start with information that's already familiar, already established, the given.
Stuff the reader already knows from the previous sentence, maybe.
Precisely. And then the sentence ends with the new piece of information you want to introduce. And here's the trick. The next sentence should ideally pick up that new information and treat it as its given starting point.
Okay. It's like linking chains. You always connect what's known to the new thing, step by step.
Yeah, like a little knowledge bridge in each sentence.
Yeah.
It creates this smooth, logical path, an arc of coherence, he calls it, through the paragraph.
Can we see an example? Like, how does it go wrong?
Sure. So if you break the contract, you might write, "Scientists released a new study on sleep deprivation. The effects on cognitive function are alarming." It's okay, but a bit clunky.
Right. Two separate facts.
But using given new, you link them. "Scientists released a new study on sleep deprivation. This lack of sleep, the study shows, has alarming effects on cognitive function." See how the second sentence starts by picking up sleep deprivation or lack of sleep?
Yeah. Much smoother. It flows directly.
When writers don't do this, the reader feels these little mental jolts, these shifts in focus, makes the text feel choppy and harder to follow.
Okay, that's incredibly useful. Now, we have to talk about maybe the most fun part of the book for many people, Pinker absolutely demolishing those annoying zombie rules.
Yes, this chapter is so liberating. Zombie rules, love that term. They're those prescriptive rules, often taught in school, that have no real linguistic basis, but just keep shuffling around.
Infecting people's writing. Like what are some classic zombie rules?
Oh, the big ones. Like, you must never split an infinitive to boldly go bad, or you must never end a sentence with a preposition. Who are you talking to? Terrible.
Right. I remember getting told those. But hang on, isn't there something to be said for sticking to those? Doesn't it make writing sound, more formal, more careful? Is Pinker just saying anything goes?
That's a really common question. But Pinker argues quite strongly that true rigor comes from clarity, not from blindly following outdated or baseless rules.
Okay.
He says, look at the evidence. What do good, skilled writers actually do? If forcing yourself not to split an infinitive makes your sentence sound clunky, awkward, or even ambiguous, well, then the rule has failed, hasn't it?
Yeah, the goal is communication.
Exactly. Its only job is to help communication. So he champions things like splitting infinitives when it sounds natural or ending sentences with prepositions when the alternative is some horrible grammatical pretzel.
Yeah.
His core message is always function over fussy tradition, clarity first.
Okay, let's try to boil this down. What are the main, like, big picture messages someone should take away from Pinker's whole approach?
I think there are three core themes that really stand out. First, we've touched on it a lot. Writing is empathy.
Right. Putting yourself in the reader's shoes.
Yeah, it's applied psychology. Thinking about their cognitive load. Trying to make it effortless for them to get the knowledge. So the reflection for you listening is, next time you explain something complicated, an email, a report, whatever, stop. Really think. What background am I assuming? What jargon needs explaining? Step into the beginner's mind.
That's a great takeaway. What's the second theme?
Second, clarity is an ethical imperative. This one's strong.
Ethical? How so?
Pinker argues that deliberately opaque writing isn't just bad style. It's actually kind of a moral failing. It wastes people's valuable time. And worse, sometimes it's used on purpose to hide lazy thinking or to obscure unpleasant truths, like in that officialese example.
Ah, right. Using jargon to sound smart or to avoid saying something difficult directly?
Exactly. So clear writing is a sign of clear thinking, but also intellectual honesty and generosity. If you think of clear communication as part of your professional responsibility, well, you have an ethical duty to be understood, especially if you want to persuade someone. Transparency builds trust.
Makes sense. And the third theme?
The third is grammar is power.
Mm.
This flips the script on how most people feel about grammar.
Yeah, usually it's anxiety-inducing, fear of getting it wrong.
Right. But Pinker rehabilitates grammar. He shows its deep cognitive purpose. It's not just rules. It's the fundamental technology we have for making complex thoughts precise and understandable when we turn them into that linear string of words.
So understanding grammar isn't about passing a test. It's about wielding a tool effectively.
Exactly. It's a system to be understood and mastered, not just obeyed. If you understand how sentence structure works, how the tree connects to the string, you can make your own arguments clearer, sharper, less open to misinterpretation. It gives you real rhetorical power.
Okay, empathy, ethics, and power through understanding grammar. Got it. The book also has some really memorable lines, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's very quotable.
What's one that really sticks with you?
I think the one identifying the main problem. The main cause of incomprehensible prose is the curse of knowledge.
Yeah, that hits home.
Yeah.
Because it names the enemy, right?
Yeah.
It's not just bad writing. It's this specific cognitive bias we all have. Makes it feel solvable if we're just aware of it.
Exactly. Awareness is the first step. Then there's the one about the ideal stance for the writer. Classic style is a writer's presentation of a truth. The writer is a cicerone.
The guide. Yeah, that really captures that peer-to-peer relationship. Not talking down to the reader, but inviting them in as an equal.
Mm-hmm. And then the goal for the writing itself. Every writer should aspire to the transparency of a perfect window.
Love that. The writing should disappear. You shouldn't notice the window, just the view beyond it. The ideas are what matter.
Precisely. The medium becomes invisible, letting the message shine.
So how does all this translate into, you know, the real world? How can people actually use these ideas?
Oh, hugely practical. Think about business professionals.
Right. Drowning in businesses.
Exactly. Applying classic style means cutting the jargon, using concrete language, defining terms. Imagine reports that are actually clear and persuasive. It prevents misunderstandings, speeds things up. You stop trying to sound important and actually communicate.
That alone would save billions of hours globally, probably. What about academics or other experts?
Crucial for them if they want their work to have impact beyond their tiny field. Overcoming that curse of knowledge means writing grant proposals people can understand or articles that policymakers might actually read and use. Providing context, defining terms, it makes their expertise accessible.
Yeah, getting out of the ivory tower.
And honestly, it applies to everyone every day. That core lesson about the curse of knowledge, it just makes you a better communicator, period.
How so?
Well, think about being a manager explaining a task, or a teacher with a new concept, or even just giving directions. You automatically start thinking, okay, wait, what context does this person need? What am I assuming they know?
Right. It forces you to be more mindful in almost any conversation.
That constant empathetic check is probably the most universal takeaway.
So, wrapping up, what was the biggest surprise or the most resonant thing for you personally from revisiting this?
For me, I think it's still the idea that the best writing kind of disappears. It's not about flashy vocabulary or complex sentences to show off. It's about the seamless transfer of thought. When it works perfectly, you don't even notice the writing itself, just the ideas. And achieving that kind of invisibility, it actually takes a lot of hard work and intellectual honesty.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive. The goal isn't to be noticed, but to be understood so well that the writing itself fades away. My big takeaway, I think, is the reframing of grammar.
Ah, grammar as power.
Yeah. Taking it away from being this source of anxiety, this list of arbitrary don'ts, and seeing it instead as this fascinating functional system, like understanding the engine of language, it makes it feel less like a chore and more like, well, a tool you can master for precision and clarity. It gives you permission to ignore the silly zombie rules while respecting the structures that genuinely help communication.
Absolutely. It's empowering.
A really essential guide then for pretty much anyone who needs to write clearly, which is most of us.
Pretty much everyone, I'd say.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by eQuattro Foundation.